It's also exciting to be on the at the first two-service Sunday, and that's exciting for us. We are so grateful for you guys. Both Debbie and I were saved at a young age when we were little kids, and then we both went to Moody Bible Institute. That's where we met in the corral, and we both studied missions, and we felt God calling us to go serve in Mexico, where we served for 15 years. And then our son, Caleb, that is here with us. Usually I don't get to have my family with me when I go places, because people don't pay for my family to travel. They just pay for the speaker. And so it's a special blessing to have my family with me. And so we felt like we needed to come to Texas, and we've been there for about 4 years. Have you guys ever heard of the book of Acts? Good. Okay. So you guys ever heard of the missionary journeys of Paul? So Paul went on his first missionary journey, and then he was planning on going to some of those same places on the second journey, and then he had a vision and had a call to, we call it the Macedonian call. And so things that we plan sometimes don't end up the way we actually planned. We plan on doing this, but then we feel like God's calling us to do something a little different. And another way to say that is when Paul asked in Colossians, I think it's the book of Colossians chapter 4, he said, pray for open doors. You ever heard of that verse? Yeah. And so we pray for open doors, and when a door slams in our face, we don't just say, oh, bummer, now what am I going to do? Okay, I'll just sit around. No, when a door closes, that means God is saying, okay, that part of life, that part of ministry is done. Move to something else. And so when we moved to Texas, we thought we were going to be involved in a church plant in the Dallas area. And God closed that door and opened one called Walk Through the Bible. I had already been trained in the year 2000 to teach it, and I had been just kind of doing it in addition to other ministries. But in the last 4 years, I've been able to teach walk through the Old Testament 40 times and the New Testament 7 times. And some of the places, 9 countries, Peru, Honduras, Guatemala, England, Spain, Canada, Mexico, Colombia, and USA. And in the states, 9 states, Texas, Michigan, Washington, Georgia, Oregon, California, Florida, Alabama, and Ohio. And I didn't plan on these things. Just God keeps on opening doors. And I was talking to the pastor this morning, and he said, well, how are you doing financially? Well, we're at 75%. Well, you're thinking, okay, how did you get to 9 countries and in the states to 9 states? Well, God opens the doors, and when he opens doors, he provides in miraculous ways. And so one time I got to I got invited by, we're going to show, oh, I can do this. Yeah. This guy on the left, he's a Camino Global missionary. He used to be in Bolivia, and then served in Colombia a little bit, and now he's based in Alabama, and most of you would not understand him. I understand three quarters of what he says. It's got such a southern drawl. What'd he say? And I have to ask him all the time, what'd you say? And then his wife from the Midwest interprets for me. So he asked me to go to Alabama because they're starting a ministry to the Hispanics in prison. And he said, do not ask them why they're in there. I said, I know better than that. But he said, these are the baddest of the bad. Okay. These are going to be in there for life. Okay. So I get in there, and I get to teach all these Hispanics. They're from all different countries, from Puerto Rico, Cuba, Mexico, Guatemala, Salvador, and other countries, and Venezuela. And so I got to teach the Old Testament, and 12 of them gave their lives to Christ that day. It is so exciting. When I got trained in the Old Testament with Walk Through the Bible, I did not have any clue about really what it was going to do to me and through me. I thought I was just getting trained to understand the big picture of the Old Testament so that I could learn it better, so that I could understand it better and teach my family and our little church. We were living in those days in Pachuca, and that was my plan, just me, my family, my little church. And God has abundantly blown me away. So many people hear the Old Testament and the stories and where we present the gospel when we're talking about the Passover. And people say, I understand why Jesus came. I want that in my life. It's exciting. It was really neat to see these hardened criminals soften. Even in a few hours that I was with them, at first they had no clue who this gringo was, and they didn't think I would speak Spanish, and they didn't think we would like appreciate each other. And by the end, man, we were all hugging each other. It was really, really neat. And so they said, smile. And I was the only one who smiled. But there they are. And so that was Alabama. I got invited to Ohio to teach a marriage seminar to mostly non-Christian Hispanics. And they heard the gospel, and because when we teach whatever we're teaching, we're always giving the gospel. And let's see if this goes. Yes, it goes black. So I was going to say something else about England. I got invited to go to England, to London, to teach the Hispanics. Many people, Americans, think that all the Hispanics, Latin America is invading us in the States, and you know, they're only coming here. No, they're going everywhere. There are 500,000 Spanish speakers in London. And so I got to speak in two of the churches there in London. And so when I stayed with the Peruvian pastor, he says, Tim, teléfono. I'm going, who knows your number that knows me? I met that pastor that day. And so, because another missionary had recommended me to go teach at his church. And so I'm talking to Anita, his sister, who happened to marry a guy from Sweden. So they're in Sweden calling me in London. And she says, my brother tells me about you teaching Caminata Biblica in his church and that he really likes it. And so we served 45 years in Chulucanas, northern Peru. And so we would like to raise funds in Sweden to send you to Peru to teach our churches. So there's about 100 churches there. So I got to teach and train many people there. And it just blows me away at how God opens doors. Are you willing to allow God to open doors for you. We need to be in step with the Holy Spirit who indwells each believer. And he opens doors for us to minister in the way that he wants us to. 2 weeks ago, we were in Michigan at a missionary conference. And one of the missionaries from Idaho used to serve in Panama 23 years ago. And he said, "Tim, Panama doesn't have Walk Through the Bible, right?" I said, "That is correct." He said, "Well, I got the context." I said, "Well, I got the desire." So we're working on getting down to Panama. And then there was, I've been praying for Equatorial Guinea, the only Spanish-speaking country in Africa. And doors are starting to open. The Walk Through the Bible headquarters, there's the director of international ministries. He's Egyptian, Wahid Waba. And he said, "Tim, send me your proposed budget so that we can send you to Equatorial Guinea." I've just been praying about it. I don't have money to go to Africa. But now Walk Through the Bible is saying, "Yeah, we want to send you to train people there." And so I've been in contact recently with a Bible Institute. How did I get in touch with the Bible Institute? Well, I'm working on my master's in CETECA, the Central American Theological Seminary in Guatemala City. And so it's all online, so no matter where, what country I happen to be in, I can do my homework and send in my papers and stuff. So I've just sent in a couple weeks ago my 90-page thesis. And 3 years ago, one of my professors said, "Students, when you write me, don't expect an immediate response because I'm going to Equatorial Guinea where it is very spotty. The internet is very spotty. In fact, the electricity is spotty. So you can imagine if you barely have electricity, what the Wi-Fi would look like. Probably not very solid at all." So anyway, I wrote back and I said, "Profesor Daniel," I said, "I've been praying for Equatorial Guinea for about a decade. Where do you teach?" And he said, "Well, CETECA has a deal with a Bible Institute over there in Africa, and so they send some of us professors over there to teach. And so that's my link. Where I'm studying, where my dad happened to teach in Guatemala, they have a link with Equatorial Guinea. God's opening these doors. It's so exciting to me." And there is a picture of me teaching under a tarp in that video that you saw, and it said Mexico. Well, that was near Huichapan and Tlahuelilpan. Try that. Say Tlahuelilpan. No, I don't need to. Okay, so I was talking to a friend who's a Korean American who trained me in Walk Through the Bible in the year 2000. And he said, "Tim, a friend of mine, Pastor Choi," his name is Dong Choi, and I'm glad his first name is not Ding. Anyway, so Pastor Choi calls me, and he doesn't know English very much, and he doesn't know Spanish at all. He says, "I love Mexico." That's about all I understand. He talks some English, and it's very choppy. And he says, "I want you go Mexico. I send you Mexico." "Okay. Where?" "80 minutes. "Okay." So I contact my buddy who knows English, and I go, "What's this 80 minutes Mexico thing?" He says, "He wants you to go to Mexico. He'll pay your way, and two nights in one city, 80 minutes each night. And then you go to another city, 80 minutes each night." I go, "Oh, got it. Okay, Pastor Choi, I can do that." And so every year, he's been sending me to Mexico. And so when we left Mexico, I didn't know if I was going to be able to go back. And it's been a gift for me that Korean churches are raising funds to send me back to Mexico and teach walk through the Bible. And so I'll be able to teach in two towns this in 4 weeks. And I'll teach New Testament in one town because I taught Old Testament last year. And in another town, they already have Old Testament and New. So this time I'm going to be teaching an evangelism course. So we greatly appreciate your prayers for these endeavors as we travel and teach, walk through the Bible and other seminars. This is Bogota. I had never been to Colombia, but Walk Through the Bible wanted me to help with a translation for Pastor, the president of Walk Through, Phil Tuttle. And so I got to speak in Bogota, and that's the city. You can see that it's kind of normal. And then we went, this is Alejandro Colombo, who's the director of South America Walk Through the Bible. He and I went on an airplane ride to the Venezuela border, and we were in Puerto Inirida, and it's a jungle village. There is no road to that place. You have to either fly or boat. And so we were in the jungle for a few days, and that was the taxi that took us from the airport to the place where we were teaching, and that's the church where we were teaching. And these are the people that we got to teach. And yes, they love the hand motions. It was so exciting to be able to. We had five different languages represented among these people. In that they came from boat days. How do you traveled by boat for 1, 2, or 3 days away, and to get trained in this. And I noticed that every day they wore the same clothes. Well, I guess if you're in a boat, you don't have your suitcase and everything. You just travel with what you got. So they traveled with what they had. So every day they had the same stuff, but it was exciting because in their five dialects, they don't have the Old Testament translated yet. And so we were training them in 40 stories of the Old Testament. They all know Spanish, but reading Spanish is tough. So they can struggle reading some Spanish, but imagine reading for the first time the Old Testament, and you don't read very well. How would you understand it? And it's in your second language. It's very tough. So it was exciting to participate in their lives, and we got to train them in these stories. And when you train, we don't just talk for 20 hours straight. It's a 20-hour training. And so it's we tell them some things and then divide up into your groups and practice to each other. And then sometimes we would say, okay, one of you come up here and tell everybody your story, because there's 40 stories. And these are the leaders that came from all these towns. They traveled for days on boat to come to get trained. And they go up and they're looking down and they're looking, and I'm going, start telling your story. You only have a few minutes, you know. Just other people are going to come after this. And they go, Noah. I go, okay, keep going. There's a big boat. God told them. And I'm going. And these are the leaders, and we're expecting them to go to their towns, and the people understand the story. And I'm going, oh. I told Colombo, I said, I feel like a failure. They don't know the stories. I thought we told the stories right. I thought we've been training them. And so then I said, Alejandro, tell them to just say it in their own language. And I said, oh, they don't know Spanish enough to be able to tell the stories in Spanish. But you tell them, and they tell them in their own, oh, man, they have it in their brain. And so I thought, okay, I was relieved. I didn't feel like a failure anymore. So that's the kind of things that happened in the jungle in Colombia. And so I think it would be a good time to have a variety of voice. And I think Debbie should come up here and speak some.
I'm going to take my glasses off so I can read my notes. When we moved back from Mexico, I'm kind of like rewinding a little bit for a few years, we moved to Texas from Mexico in 2014, and for 5 months we were homeless. We were staying with people, and it was tough living with people for that long with all our stuff in storage, but God taught us a lot through that time. But finally, a couple years ago, he allowed us to be able to use our retirement and some of our savings to be able to start purchasing our first house ever. And we were looking for a house outside of Dallas because it's a lot cheaper. And he took us to a town called Terrell, which is a half hour east. And the guy who was helping us look for our home, the real estate guy, he drove us out to show us a house, and he's like, calls me up and he goes, "I'm lost." I'm like, "You're the real estate guy. We're sitting here in front of the house." And he goes, "Can you come get me?" So we drove over to pick him up, and I said, "Don't you have GPS?" And he goes, "I don't know." Anyway, so he was sitting parked in front of a Spanish church, and I'm like, wouldn't that be interesting if that ended up being our church? And we went and looked at the house, and wasn't really what we wanted. And then he ended up showing us another house, and it ends up being 4 minutes from that church. And that's where we started attending, and after visiting several churches in the neighborhood, and then also representing Walk Through the Bible in several churches in Dallas, we decided to make that our home church and help out. And our pastor is from Dominican Republic, but he grew up in Haiti. And so he doesn't speak very fluent English, he doesn't speak very fluent Spanish, and he doesn't speak very fluent French. So his Spanish sounds a little bit French, and his English sounds a little bit French, or Creole. And so we love the church. They are, they love God. The men want to serve, which is very hard to find in Hispanic churches. So we felt very encouraged. And they love to pray. And so we started being a part of their prayer service. And I noticed that there was a couple of kids that were just sitting there super bored and playing on their phones. So I said, "We need to do something different." And I said, "I want to teach these kids." And I had been praying for God to send me kids to minister to because I love kids. And you guys can appreciate this because I know you guys love to minister to your kids. And I remember years back and many years seeing you guys do Awanas with the kids. And I was talking with a few of the ladies at the Dunes and how you have a new ministry. And it sounds really exciting. But I have started teaching some of these kids. I don't know if you have the pictures. And one of our goals is a couple that's going to be happening soon is we have three new couples in our church. They're not new, but they are new in the Lord. And so we're going to start a discipleship Bible study with these three couples. And it just so happens that, you can just go ahead, that the kids in my class are part of these families. And so I've been teaching them for several months now, and it just blew me away. They had never, ever memorized a Bible verse, and they had been in the church for a couple of years already. They had never memorized books of the Bible. They didn't know where to find anything in the Bible, and they had never even heard some of the Bible stories. And so I am loving it, and I taught them a Bible verse that Tim had put to music. And they looked at me and they said, "Could we do this every week? Could we sing this memory verse every week?" And I'm like, "You bet. I'm going to teach you more too." But they're so hungry to learn and so excited. And so that's one of my funnest times of the week. But we have a great group of women. We both love to help. I help every weekend. I've been helping every week in the worship, and it's such a special group. I've been able to get to know. You know, it's an interesting dynamic here in the States because you've got people who, the parents only speak Spanish and very little English. The kids don't speak hardly any Spanish. And so I'm actually teaching my class to my kids bilingually. I'm teaching them the Bible verses in Spanish and English. I'm teaching them the books of the Bible in Spanish and English because it's important for their families to keep that heritage and in their church education, you know, growing up in the home church. So it's fun for me to be able to do that. And so that's a little bit about our church. And I just wanted to share also Josiah and Caleb. Caleb is living with us, and I don't know if you could tell, but some of those photos were really extra special, especially the prison ones. He was able to go with Tim to the prison. They allowed him to bring his camera in, and they portioned off the guys who did not give permission to have their photos taken off to the side, so he had to avoid them. And so he enjoyed going to be in the prison with Dad and traveling with him for the weekend. And so he's been able to use some of his photography. And God has, I know many of you have been praying over the years for his health. And we have finally this year been seeing God answer some prayers and providing a doctor that has helped us. So we are very, very hopeful and very thankful to God for leading us to where he has. And Josiah is also married now. He's in Spokane, and God has provided an amazing job, and he is now the head of human resources in Kmart in Spokane. So we are praising God that he's using his gifts, he's loving being there, and he's enjoying being married. So, and I just want to say thank you to you all also, because we love you guys, and I love calling and talking to anybody. If you guys want to call, we love to talk to you. We pray for you. We have a prayer book for our supporters, and we have your picture in there. And right now it's just the building, so we'd love to have a group picture if we could. And you know, anytime you have any special requests, we'd love to pray for you because you guys are special to us.
And I see that I have more time before. Don't leave you, Debbie, because we're going to sing a song. I got permission. But I didn't tell the people back there that I was going to be doing that. So this is your warning. Oh, wow, they're colorful. Is this on? All right. Okay, that rhythm is huapango. Everybody say huapango.
Huapango.
Yeah, I like that, huapango. And so I learned huapango, and then I just put that to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8a, because I tried to memorize 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and I kept forgetting it, and I memorized it and forget it, and memorize it and forget it. It's just a whole list of what love is. And I would, you know, remember some of them, then get them out of order. So then when you put it to music, it kind of helps. So this is that song. And we'll do it in English. So it's only 45 seconds. So listen very carefully and then sing with us on the second round.
Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it It is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
And now, I have been excited about this next section. When we were talking about how long does this preaching usually last, and it usually lasts 45 minutes. And I said, hey, I never get to hear you speak. How about I get just part of it, and then I get to listen to the pastor? And so that is what we get to listen to now.